This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandu. Over the past 2 weeks, we've been talking to MDEC and also two startup companies that are doing the co-working space. And today we have a slightly different focus because we're going to talk about digital disruption. And with me are two guests and we'll start off again. Raz, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Razali Zainal, or they call me Raz. I'm a VP at Corporate Affairs in MDEC.
And together with?
My name is Praveen, and I'm Chief Digital Officer at Digi and also head of DigiX.
And we're going to talk about the digital adoption journey, that disruption that many people seem to fear when it comes to, you know, talking about digital, the E in the commerce word that we would normally say. So, Razali, let's start about talking about 2017. It's been deemed as the year of, you know, the internet economy. MDEC themselves has also, you know, changed the name around because of, you know, just the spur of, you know, what the internet brings to an economy and with the emphasis of digital as an industry catalyst for growth. At the same time, you know, digital disruption now has taken a whole new meaning across all four corners of the world. Why is it critical for traditional businesses to seize this opportunity now in capitalizing on the internet economy?
So it is said that digital companies are taking over the mindshare of non-digital companies at about 3% per year. And then, you know, this was discussed at Wild Digital in Kuala Lumpur a few months ago. And if you look at companies like Apple, Google, Facebook, Uber, for example, and Airbnb for once, they're right now the largest so-called perceived hotel owner, but they don't literally own any hotels. And Uber, a Grab taxi, for example, you know, people perceive them as owning taxis, loads of taxis, but they don't. Yeah, so these are things that's ever-changing, and industry forecasts that in 10 years, for example, 50% of Fortune 500 companies will be replaced by digital companies.
Wow.
And this is facts, and this will soon transpire. And if we don't change and we don't realize this now, your competitiveness as a small, medium businesses or any companies will be left behind.
And we're seeing it happen here in Malaysia as well because DG, Praveen, you know, DG itself is having a vision to go into the digital future with DGX. So how important is for a company like DG playing in the telco space that has been around and industries that's been around for many years now, and now you have this, you know, explosion of the digital world. How is it important, you know, for a company like DG to look at this as an opportunity instead of fearing and resisting it?
So Digi has been around since 1995. We're just over 22 years old now. In human terms, that's a young adult.
But in the digital world...
In the digital world, we're relatively old. But it's funny, every time we reflect, almost every 3 to 5 years, we are in a different digital revolution, right? So in 1995, that digital revolution was the introduction of a mobile phone with a SIM card. And then you fast forward to, say, 2005, it was high-speed internet. And high-speed internet at that time was plugging your phone to your laptop to be able to surf, really. And that was digital, right?
Yeah. Oops, yeah. Buffering.
But it was, that was it.
Then
you fast forward to where we are, the pace has changed, right? It's significantly faster. If you don't do different things, you'd be left behind. I think for us, we've started with a strategy that's saying we want to be a digital service provider by year 2020. And that means transforming a lot of our current business and questioning our existence. Actually, we're worried. We're worried about whether our business model of today will sustain itself. Do we need to look at different business models? And that kind of message is what drives us today.
Because currently, the business model for DG is...
We're at telco. Those five letters form the business model of what we do. We serve close to 12 million customers. And you can imagine if you ask anybody what we do, they'll tell you. We provide them a SIM card. They use internet. They use voice. And you don't imagine all the possibilities beyond that.
See, that's beautiful, if you don't mind. Yeah, Jeff, I just want to piggyback on this. People may perceive, oh, but DG, it's already a telco. What else can it transform? And that's the unique part about digital transformation. People don't realize there's a plethora of things that and opportunities that you can optimize. And you guys are one great example of it.
So how does DGX then operate? Like, you know, why does DGX have to come into existence? Because you are still part of the DG group. Why are you disrupting your own self then?
Sure. We looked at ourselves from the outside in. We started saying, what do we have to do differently? Mm. Close to 80% of our efforts today is on digitizing our core business. So if you imagine everything we just said about giving you a SIM card, even the way we give you a SIM card, you just take an example of changing a SIM card. In the past, if you had an issue with your SIM card or if you lost your SIM card, you would have to walk into a store, go through a process. I'm stopping short of saying a laborious process, but process.
Queuing up.
Yeah. But today, a lot of that is now self-service. Now, how do you do self-service with a physical card? Because you still need to pass someone a physical card. It's literally a kiosk interaction. You put in a My Card, you scan, and it dispenses a card. Now, all that is digitizing for our business. So the entire organization, we have a staff strength of just about over 2,000 people, and the entire organization is mobilized to digitize parts of the business. Mm. Then we ask ourselves, what else can we do? So what if the business model of today doesn't exist? Now, we started to say we want to bet a little bit on the future, and that's the reason for the existence of DGX. We started in the middle of last year. Mm-hmm. And the mandate to the team is, please don't come back and show us, you know, cool ideas and, you know, nice to have things. It's more like we're letting you go. You have the autonomy to decide, but please build a business. What are the businesses that you can run with the leverage and the strengths that Digi has built over the years?
So it operates independently, would you say?
Today it operates almost independently. I think that's the politically correct thing to say. We're straddling somewhere between what is a large organization that is Digi and a startup that is out there. We're somewhere in the middle. Mm.
And in terms of physical location itself, a lot of companies, I've been to places in Norway where, you know, I've seen Telenor, which is, you know, the parent company, you would
say. Mothership.
The mothership of DG itself. And, you know, I've seen how they're disrupting themselves and, you know, they're having smaller startups, like you mentioned, around the vicinity, but not operating directly within Telenor's campus itself. Is this the same kind of format or methodology with DGX as well?
Yeah, it's the same. We've taken that approach of physically housing ourselves separately. Today, we're based in Bangsa South. Mm. And it's not to have a fancy office. In fact, you know, I struggle because every time we ask somebody to come over to our office, we tell them, this is the no-frills office. This is where we go back to the roots of growing a company. And we said, if you compare it to Digi, this is where we change toilet papers ourselves. that's the kind of
DIY.
And you ask any other startup that's starting out, they go through all that.
Why is it important, though, that to have that kind of mindset in that corporate branding still?
I think sometimes we get spoiled. You know, we are used to so many things in a large organization because the machinery just moves. So imagine an organization like Digi, just over 2,000 people, that machine moves. Everybody has a role. And when something doesn't work, you know it's someone else that you can go to. But in an environment where you're starting something from the ground up, we are focusing on the areas of IoT, fintech, and B2B solutions. We don't know. You know, those businesses don't exist. Everybody has to do a role that is 1,001 things. So no real job description. So we want to remove all that fear and the pleasantries that you have from working in a large organization. You assume everything will work. But in a startup environment, you've got to get things done.
And I like the fact that when you look at the program, and which you're part of, the VIP program by MDAC, what we're doing right now, Jeff, is also through this program, we look at three main things. We look at your overall overarching is the digital strategy of your company. Yeah. The existence now, you need to embrace this. So we look at your operational backbone. We also look at your customer engagement, and then also look at where are the opportunities for digitalization. So then we craft out, together with you, where are the sweet spot. So VIP program provides you that, and it allows company, let it be small, medium, will be able to look at, okay, these are the areas that we need to push the boundaries, because it's all about competitiveness, right? Mm. If you don't do it, somebody else will beat you to it. Mm. So this is the core message that we would like very much at MDEC to bring to SMEs. Don't fear disruption.
Are there many who fear?
There's still quite a hefty sum, because you know, when you look at just one aspect of the fear, you have old schools potentially looking at this as price versus price, price and reward. So we want them to have this discourse, because otherwise it will always be, you know, I've done this this way for the last many years. There's no reason to change. So more and more, when we go down this journey, we also realize with our partner, like Rainmaking, and they bring in a lot of this, what you call case studies, and they bring the know-how to us. So we help SMEs to understand what they are. And don't fear this, but embrace instead, and drive the competitiveness. That let them realize if the others can do it, and hey, you know what? This is an opportunity for you to carve out for your own market.
I'm talking to Mohammad Razali bin Zainal. He's the VP of Corporate Affairs for MDEC, together with Pravin Rajan. He's the Chief Digital Officer for DG and also the head of DGX. And when we come back in just a moment, I want to talk more about the VIP program. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Barry fronts Motown. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
And we're back, and my name is Jeff Sandhu, and I'm speaking to Pravin Rajan. He's the Chief Digital Officer for DG and also the head of DGX, together with Razali bin Zainal. He's the VP for Corporate Affairs for MDEC. And Raz, earlier on, you know, you mentioned briefly about the VIP program that you know, DGX is part of. Tell me more about this program. Like, how does it work? And you know, you mentioned briefly it's more for everyone. So what role does MDEC play here?
Okay. We launched this back in 2016 in November. Yeah? And VIP stands for Value Innovation Platform. And we started it back in 2016. So DG was one of the so-called pioneer with this program. So the whole idea of this program is to ensure that SMEs realize their fullest potential, especially in this disruptive world. So And what we would like very much them to do is to discourse areas of opportunities. Some may not really fully realize where it lies. We look back at, as I said earlier, the operational backbone. We look at how the customer engage. And just like what DG said, you know, now the way they connect with customer, even how to address SIM cards are totally different. Yeah, and then we address where are the opportunity lies. So we have partner like Rainmaking, who's been working with us for the last almost 2 years. And Rainmaking is based in Europe. So they've done this before, and we bring them in to coach and to take these companies and help them for a bit. So then they will be able to embrace which area are needed. Let it be IoT, let it be BDA, as simple as understanding what is just digital transformation, as basic as that. Mm. And one example good for us to share here, there's also we also saw this huge gap between digital native and the traditionalists, or to a certain extent, digital immigrants. We have wonderful study cases, and that's going to be a different topic, and we can bring them here so you can hear this. Between a dad and a daughter. Daughter believe it needs to be done a different way. Mm. Dad says, hello, I've done this for the last 40 years. We're fine. So we encourage this type of disruption. We encourage this type of discourse through VIP program. Mm. If it is not discussed, Malaysian companies will be left behind. So we're putting Malaysian companies into a platform where they can fully realize their potential.
Talk about the DGX being the first few to join the Value Innovation Platform. Why was it critical to get this push out, you know, at the early stage itself, to be like the first few? Is it really important to be the first? And now, you know, in 2017, we see so many companies who are taking this journey, and a lot of people also have this question, like, it might be a bit too late for me now.
I think for
it's
us...
never too late.
It's never too late. actually, I like the point that Roz mentioned on the prize, right, with a Z. And for us, it's we are very good at doing what is critical now, right? And if you imagine a 12-month roadmap, yeah, we know what to do. we've got enough. We've got our hands full. When the VIP program fell on our lap, and we were talking to our MDEC counterparts, we thought it was a great opportunity for us to leverage that to be ready 18 or 24 months from now. How do we use a program like that to get ready? Mm. And that's our intention, really. It wasn't, to Ra's point earlier, it wasn't so much about digitizing our core business, which is what we're already doing, but more about helping us to identify what are those other opportunities adjacent to our business that could be very relevant 18 or 24 months from now, where we may not have all the capacity in the world, all the strength in the world to analyze, to find the partners, and to do all that nitty-gritty work. That's what appealed to us. Mm. Of course, it was also nice to be a pioneer, the initial part. But, and I think we will come to some of the things we learned behind that. When we moved in as one of the initial partners, it was more about the program, working with Rainmaking and MDEC to identify the business opportunities. So we said, we're interested in IoT. The IoT of today is about connectivity. Today we're spending time on vehicles, connected vehicles. But what is that future of vehicles? What is that future 18 months from now? Mm. And then we, through an analytical process, we narrowed it down to drones. And we said, okay, we are going to do this. And we have no idea what it's about. Besides somebody buying a drone and playing with it, we have no idea. So how do you then get the program to connect us with other startups that are building technology in this space, solutions for plantations, construction companies, and manufacturing?
Industries that you were previously not looking to.
Industries in the past where we would go to them and say, sir,
let me sell you a SIM card.
Let me sell you 100 SIM cards to your employees. We have no idea what is yield. You know, things we are not familiar with. Mm. That's what we've learned very fast through the VIP.
And then at MDEC, what we do also, we have an outfit where we call edX, we call it ASEAN Data Analytics Exchange. Mm. Yeah, so people who wants to explore and understand further about BDA, we can collaborate, we can connect them with edX. And of course, edX also, one of the key functions is to groom new data scientists who will be able to extract fullest potential of all your data is available. Mm. So these are just an exciting example, and there's plenty more through this VIP program.
And ADEX is located in Bangsa South as well, which is where, you know, which is just next to DGX. Excellent. So we kind of know where they're getting their information from here,
and,
right?
And this is where I would like to reiterate also. You brought in earlier a topic about in Europe, you were saying how Telenor, you know, infuse the area with all the startups. And this is going to be the new norms also in Malaysia. Mm. We would like to encourage partnership between corporate and also SMEs. And we at MDEC have just introduced our fourth digital hub. And digital hub meant to create a platform where infusion of co-collaboration can happen between startups and its corporate partners. So, you know, work, for example, is the last one that we did. Mm. Alibaba now, Alibaba Cloud is now there and working with SMEs. So, I'm sorry, working with startups. So this is what the new norms will be for Malaysia, inshallah. Mm. Mm.
From DG's point of view, was it difficult in the beginning stage to disrupt your own selves? You know, the boardroom discussion, you know, surely in the corporate world, that would have, you know, a pushback in terms of like, why are we doing this? Because it doesn't seem like a thing that we would be facing in the near future. Like, was there kind of a pushback or, you know, in you know, you're blessed in the sense that, you know, the corporate world in DG's boardroom was, you know, accepting about, you know, the digital adoption.
Yeah, I think the board and generally the company is always forward leaning. So there wasn't much issues in trying to build a case as to why we need to digitize the core. Why do we need to move all our interactions as much as possible to a digital screen?
You didn't have to bring in a millennial, like Raz was saying, bring in a millennial to explain why.
but actually, to Raz's point earlier, we also struggle. So getting the mission, getting the strategy is one part, right? Cascading that to the organization, a large organization, is not straightforward. Imagine, the average age in a company like Digi was probably about 37 to 38 years old, right? Every new kid that's joining us is listening to music on YouTube. And the rest of us are not, right? We are plugging
what
into...
What YouTube?
Yeah, exactly. And how do you cascade a message about transformation to the rest of the organization? So we had to run programs to educate people. We started a program called What's Your Next? To train people to think about the future. Wow. What will happen to your role? You're in finance today. 2 years from now, what is finance going to be like for you? How do you train yourself? So I think that was some of the things we did.
The other wonderful part is that if you look at DG and if you compare DG to other SMEs, for example, each one takes different journey, right? It's not cookie cut. Your challenges are different than the other SMEs, and you likely largely surrounded yourself with certain amount of people or certain type of people in demography. They may not necessarily have the necessary skill sets, not only just skill set but also mindset. So the cultural mindset also need to be driven in and
changed. It's a crucial part, I think, of the transformation.
Right, so people can go on to mdec.my/VIP to find out more information about the platform, about the program itself. What should a company expect from a program like this? What actually happens in the VIP program?
Okay, program like this, as I said earlier, will take you through on a journey. First and foremost, there will be that face-to-face one-on-one to really understand the pain points, to really understand what are your current issues. And then, remember I talked about the earlier three components, or at least understanding your operational backbone. So we start from there, and then see where are your pain points. And that will take you through a training process or a mentoring process. And then it's where we get our partner in. And then from there, they take you to the next level. This is where the crunch comes in. You know, what are the changes that needs to be delivered?
And Pravin, you know, being part of DGX, the playground for, you know, all your engineers and researchers, any exciting things that we could look forward to in the coming months from DG itself?
Yeah, we are spending time on, again, three categories. One on IoT, specifically in connected vehicles. We very recently started a service called iFleet, which is focused on fleet management for commercial vehicles. Right. We're looking to bring that to the mass market. There are over 27 million cars on the road. Wow. How do we address that? Similarly, we also... trying to do interesting things in the financial services space around payments.
Fintech is a big buzzword.
How do you stake a claim? How do you do something that can be relevant? And then, of course, B2B solutions is of interest to us generally. But I wanted to touch on one point that Raz mentioned earlier. What can you gain out of the program? He's probably being polite with how he described the program. as you go through the program... it will force you to actually answer a lot of questions that you, as an organization, you try not to, you know, have too much of that.
You
debate.
Don't want to instigate anything.
You don't instigate.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's a good way of
I like that.
So the program forces you to ask those questions. Why do you want to do this? Why do you want to get into this other category?
Because the machine is running smoothly, right? So, it's well oiled.
So hence, you ask yourself, disruption, right?
Yeah. So I think that's one thing, the structured way of. Answering those questions. And the beauty is when you have the right facilitators, not just anybody can do this. I think the right facilitators would be able to extract value from you, and then you can create something. Second thing is what we learned, only in hindsight, we didn't realize, is AmDAC, of course, has the relationships. And this is not a sales pitch anymore, but they have the relationships. But what we didn't realize was, Raz mentioned co-collaboration with startups. That's what we usually say, right? But the behemoths, the big guys, the big corporations, that's where we also learned. Because they're part of the program, we were able to then collaborate with them. So rather than us now thinking about drones and plantations, we didn't have to go and knock on a different plantation company because there was already one that was working with AmDAC through the program.
And so that's your role there.
Yeah, they can tap. Our role is not only to create awareness and to educate about transformation and adoption, but it's also to connect, as I was saying earlier, they're existing corporate partners out there, and we help to connect the dots for them. Mm. So you don't need to reinvent wheel. Yeah, thank you very much.
Looking beyond the bubble that generally any corporate firms would be stuck in this bubble and unable to look beyond it. And that's your role as well, to help them to see beyond. It's like a machine that is well oiled, and why would I want to do it? You would come in, it's like, let's stop the oil and see how would you run.
and that's the disruption. And help them to build that ecosystem.
You need to have the right mindset as well. Mm. I mean, the people working on it within the teams, they need to have the right mindset that, this is not about my job. Yeah. I mean, it's about where can we help grow new value, new business. Mm. Think that way.
All right. Exactly. Gentlemen, I think we could go on and on and on, but you know, we'll have to end it here. I've been speaking to Praveen Rajan. He's the Chief Digital Officer for DJ and also the head of DGX, together with Mohammad Razali bin Zainal. He's the VP of Corporate Affairs for AmDAC. And do check out the VIP platform, which is the Value Innovation Platform. You can just go onto the AmDAC website.
Yes, please do.
And this has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.